Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the e-commerce, direct-to-consumer, and retail space. We get to learn a little bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, learn how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully we get to know a little bit about them personally as well. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of e-commerce and retail strategy at Quad. And I'm super excited to start season five with my good friend and today's guest, Aaron Horowitz, VP of Growth at Rise, a Quad agency. Aaron is responsible for leading Rise's strategic growth with clients in CPG, retail, e-commerce, health, and financial services. And I've had the pleasure of working with Aaron for some time. And I can share personally that clients often cite his infectious spirit and strategic leadership in building trusted and sustained client partnerships. This has made him a recognized powerhouse in client growth for category-leading and mid-market brands. Prior to Rise, Aaron led North American and global business development at several industry-leading digital agencies. And over his career, he's developed a performance-based relationships across a number of categories and clients, including Gallo, Zappos, Mutual of Omaha, The Coca-Cola Company, TD Bank, FedEx, Beam Suntory, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and many others. Aaron is recognized as a passionate thought leader in the realms of audience insights, media, and digital innovation. And as an active participant in industry conferences, he remains at the forefront of emerging trends and maintains strong connections within the research consultant community. And that's why I've asked him to start season five with us. Today, we hope to lay out some predictions and trends about what we see happening in 2026. Aaron, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you with me today.
Thank you, Marcus. I'm thrilled to be here. Happy to kick off season five.
To start with, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Rise?
Would love to. So I joined Rise about 6 years ago. Rise is a 20-plus-year-old agency, media agency. Our heritage is in performance media, but over the last several years, we have evolved into a full omni-channel media agency. What that means for clients is digital, traditional, addressable media, you know, and really at the end of the day, how we help brands engage with their audiences in a very omni-channel context. When I joined Rise, we were about 250 people. Fast forward 6 years, we're about 600 people now, and a very integrated part of the Quad family and ecosystem. And yeah.
This is great. And you and I have been talking a lot about some of the things that we expect to see from a trend perspective in 2026. Let's start with one of the things that we've been talking about a lot is audience strategy. And we've seen a lot of things happening in that space, whether it's at Amazon, on the different platforms, and the rise of audience, you know, the implications of AI for audience strategy. Why do you think some of the audience strategies that our customers and our clients have might be failing?
Well, some of it starts with the quality of data that our clients sit on. As you can imagine, as we work and engage with clients across all of our key categories, we find varying levels of maturity. We have one retail client who we've had now, we're going into our third year. When we started, they were very much interested in a deeper level of personalization and loyalty for their customers. To do that in today's environment, you really have to have the right type of data around what their shopping preferences are, where they are geographically, what their household passions are, how they consume grocery items. And so the quality of the data and what we know about our audiences is really paramount today. You also asked about AI and where AI is really helping not only the agency, but our clients is, in a few areas. One, we have some amazing tools within our own ecosystem that help us identify where customers are in relation to stores, as example. Marrying that with not only our clients' data, but our but Quad's data to really create unique profiles of who clients, not only customers are, but target audiences. And if you think about retail and e-commerce, you know, these are entities that are continually growing and expanding, not just in audience size and product offering, but in retail footprint. And so as you go into new territories, where AI is really enhancing our efforts, is leveraging tools that help us create those unique targeting profiles, helps us inform media strategies. But I want to be clear, and I talk about this a lot, AI does not replace the human touch.
It sure doesn't. You know, one of the things that we're seeing is increasingly the impact of the walled gardens and the vast growth of the number of devices people have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I were kind of kicking around the fact that we think that sometimes marketers mistakenly target devices.
Yes.
Instead of people.
Right.
You want to riff on that a little bit, Aaron, and share a little bit about what you've been thinking about?
Yeah. So this is really where audience strategy really goes to next level. So we've lived in a time where, you know, devices, both in-home and mobile, have really been, you know, key points of engagement with audiences. The reality is, when you think about customer journeys, they are not linear. And depending on who the audience is, their journeys are very different. And so our ability to map consumer journeys in what we call a connections planning process allows us to think about a multitude of audiences that are relevant to a specific brand. Where do we interact with them in what we call those moments that matter? And so to be able to leverage data to inform how we build those journeys is a big deal.
Fascinating. So you're obviously looking then at a holistic approach to the consumer and the potential audience.
Yes.
That starts, though, I think you've mentioned about how you believe it's really important for that to start with a household level data instead of a device one.
Yeah. So one of the unique value propositions that we have, not just at Rise, but at Quad, is our data stack. And a lot of companies and agencies all have data stacks. What makes our data unique is the proprietary passions data that we sit on from our direct mail business. And so what that allows us to do, if you are Marcus, you are an outdoor aficionado.
Yes.
So if I have a customer who is targeting audiences like you, we can look at where our audience is like Marcus from our data. So we can very much target media down to the household level. What the household data tells us is size of family, passions. What are they into? Are they into travel, food, outdoors activities? So this level of insight is the kind of insight brands need to really gravitate to deeply understand their audiences. We are in a time now where personalization is key. So if you don't know me, it becomes very inauthentic. And so that level of authenticity that data helps unlock is really becoming a game changer for clients, for our clients.
Yeah, so we've been on this trend for personalized experiences. That's at the landing page level. It's in the media that's served. It's in my YouTube ads. It's everything. Yeah. You're saying that in 2026, it's going to be vital to really one step deeper in terms of that level of personalization.
It has to be one step deeper. And, you know, media, from a media perspective, going back to what I was talking about earlier from a connections planning standpoint, again, whether you're an e-commerce company, you and I share, a great client that has a multitude of audiences, men, women, millennials, Gen Z, that's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And so the ability to leverage insights around your audiences. Are they loyal customers? How do we convert them to loyal customers? Are they new to our brand? Are they an old customer that we're trying to win back? Each of these considerations inform how we engage with that audience. Is it brand awareness? Is it a deeper funnel level of engagement? Are we continually nurturing that relationship with content and media? These are all the sort of considerations that we have to take when we are mapping out media and content for a client.
Got it. For the marketer that's listening, you're saying that it's vital that your personalization strategy goes one step deeper.
Exactly.
Passions, where they are in their journey, contextual relevance, all of those things.
Yeah, I was just going to say that contextual relevance component is becoming a game changer. We're talking to a heritage brand right now that has been taken over by a PE firm. They're trying to make their way back into the market, and their contextual relevance has to evolve and change. And so our data will allow us to help create those audience insights and journeys that help us determine where do we target them. For this client, it's a retail client. So we want to be mindful of households that have the right customer profile, that we create journeys that through media and content that reach them in that most contextual and relevant way.
That's fascinating. All right. I'm going to come back to the AI conversation and how that fuels audience. Obviously, AI has been accelerating the strategies around marketing and changing the marketing landscape considerably.
Yeah, right. Well, so it used to be the two places people would go for shopping would be Google and Amazon.
Yes.
AI is allowing customers to bypass that entirely and leverage their own AI tools for shopping, for exploring, researching. So we have an audience now in our consumers that have their own AI tools and are leveraging that for their own consumer journeys. So, you know, if you just do, as example, if you do a Google, go back to Google, you know, Google has AI search. So if you type in something you're interested in, it will then ask, you can also leverage the AI tool to enhance that search. If you aren't showing up as a brand in that context, you've missed a huge opportunity. And so, that's where themes like agentic AI come into play. How is your content, you know, helping elevate your visibility? You know, the days of SEO in its original context have vastly changed. And so SEO and content and agentic AI are very important strategies for any brand, but they're part of a bigger mix. Your content and how that's discovered in your products is a very important part of that process.
So for those brands that are in 2026 starting to think about how to impact that, what are some recommendations that you have?
The traditional journeys are disappearing. You know, we can look at single intelligence prompts to help us get to where we want. If you're car shopping, right, there are so many tools out there before you even land on a brand site to help inform, you know, what kind of car do I want to drive? Do I want electric? Do I want, you know, non-electric? You know, so just there are many examples of how, as a brand, you need to think about beyond just my media, how am I showing up and where am I showing up?
Got it.
And again, it's always going to go back to that connections planning process. If you do not have sort of that matrix of audiences and what those nonlinear journeys are, you're going to struggle.
So the value proposition from the humanity standpoint is making sure that you have a comprehensive understanding of the nonlinear aspects of the journey.
Right. Now, I also want to be clear, AI isn't the be-all, end-all. We highly recommend test and learn. Some organizations have brought AI in more from an operational standpoint. A lot of brands are looking to agencies to lead them through that AI journey. We are one of those agencies that does that. But brands are also at a lot of platforms out there that a lot of brands are bringing in in-house as well. So as we continue this very fast-paced adoption, it continues to further inform what were our traditional media strategies that now include sort of that AI component.
Yeah, excellent. And you're absolutely right. It's kind of like a new generation of how SEO works in terms of how agentic AI looks for content as a clue to serve product to consumers.
Speed is everything. So, you know, I don't want to go on a website and wait and, you know, don't make me go through a surgical journey to find what I'm looking for. I want it in an instant. There are studies that show that if they haven't found what they're looking for in 3 seconds, they will bail.
Right. Yeah, because it's just as easy to click the next link or to prompt differently.
Right.
So, okay. So I'm a brand and I'm trying to come up with, you know, what does this mean for me? If I'm integrating audience strategy into the AI workflow, what are a few things that you recommend I think about this year?
So for us, everything starts with outcomes. What are the goals, right? What's been working? What hasn't been working? We take clients through a very in-depth process to understand what channels are working against their audiences. Where can we find greater efficiencies? Whether AI is involved in that or not. At the end of the day, those insights, that connections planning, those business performance goals all inform how we then put a plan in place, where we make investments, how we do planning. Some brands are very much time of year. But all of that is also, you have to have transparent reporting. And so that is also a very distinctive value proposition that we have, not just at Rise, but at Quad, to provide very seamless, transparent insights into how everything is performing. Channels, content, creative, brand, audiences. We can help clients really understand this audience seems to be outperforming other audiences. So we're continually monitoring, prioritizing, and finding efficiencies for clients and where we're getting the best bang for their buck.
Fascinating. All right. So
AI is part of that in our tool set. But it still requires that human element because our client teams need to be able to understand that data, interpret it to, and what do we do next?
I love that. Well, let's pivot a little bit and talk about you. How did you get into this business to start with?
Wow. I got the bug for advertising when I was a freshman in college. I started at Michigan State, very large advertising program, loved every minute of it, decided I wanted a smaller learning environment. I was missing the real world. I came back and went to Columbia literally was my senior year, had my first job in advertising. I would literally walk from South Michigan Avenue to North Michigan Avenue to my job. And literally left graduation and went back to work. But the first agency I worked for was a small boutique agency. And that principal was one of my first mentors and saw my innate talent for strategy and growth development for agencies. And I never looked back. So for me, I got the digital bug and just went from there. At one agency, we grew a digital practice that went from $0 to $20 million in a year. You know, time, it was all about timing. And we leveraged a lot of, you know, how do you build engagement for audiences? So I just got the bug. And as digital and media continued to evolve, I never look back. The other part of the answer to your question is I love helping solve clients' problems and helping brands grow. It's what I love. It's my passion. You and I have done this several times with clients. So, but for me to build that relationship, bring a team into a room, really, you know, inspire a client, say, this is my team. That's what's kept me in the business and what I love.
Well, you bring a tremendous passion to the business. And that's one of the things I most admire about you.
What's not to get excited about?
And I'll tell you, how do you stay inspired? What are some of the things that you do to stay sharp?
AI has really ignited a new fire. There's always something new going on. We're always learning. We're learning clients' businesses. We're learning new technologies. If you're a client, you know, you should be doing the same thing. But being an advisor to clients on these are things you should look at. These are things that you should look at next. These are things you probably don't want to waste your time with. To me, being that sort of strategic advisor is my passion. AI in my own role has really enhanced my own just efficiency and learning process. And certainly culture. Culture is everything.
Say more about that.
Well, as a growth leader, obviously working in an organization that has a phenomenal culture like Quad is extremely inspiring. What makes me get up and run to work every day. But part of what my role is to fit our culture with a client's culture and align on, we understand your business. We want to align cultures. We want to build partnerships. And so culture is a big deal, not only in the teams you surround yourself with, but those teams that inspire our clients, right? And the teams that clients want to work with and really roll up sleeves and do special things.
There is a real importance to the authentic relationships between team members on a large piece of business.
Yes.
And with a complicated agency like ours, it's vital that those people both trust each other and enjoy working together. So I agree with you completely.
Yep.
What are some brands that you really admire? And I'm going to put a little additional add-on to that question. And that is, what are some brands that you really admire that you think are doing the right things in regard to the evolution of their audience strategy that we were talking about before?
Well, I have to, one of our own clients, Meyer, I really admire what they're doing, how they're growing in the market, how they're really thinking about their audiences. And they're a phenomenal team, great culture. They are really, you know, becoming a category leader. I've worked with Coca-Cola. I've worked with FedEx. I've worked with I've worked with all the big brands, and I love all the big brands. They have do a lot of special things. I have a particular passion for heritage brands and brands that are at that tipping point of that next level of growth. Why I say that is they are open and adaptable to change. What they did really well got them to the place they're at, and they're ready for what's next. So I'm inspired a lot by brands who are at that stage in their evolution of growth and ready to take those next steps and aren't married to this is the way we've done it for 50, 60 years.
I'm reminded of that age-old story about the woman cooking a meatloaf, and she cuts the ends off, and her husband asks why. She says, I don't know. She asks her, because my mom did that way. So she asked her mom, she said, why do you cut the ends off the meatloaf? Because it didn't fit in the pan. So it's asking those questions that drive the change. So I love that. There's, you know, sometimes you engage with brands that have done things one way for a long time, and they're willing to do something different. And it's an exciting time.
It's a very exciting time. You know, we work, and the other thing that I love is we work across a multitude of categories, CPG, retail, e-commerce, health, financial services. And that's been the beauty of, in my career, you start to see trends, especially with audiences, what they care about, how they want to engage. And just because a category is unique from one to the other, the fundamental, the universal truth is you're engaging audiences to inspire and do something. How you think about those audiences, whether it's under regulatory control or it's more open, at the end of the day, we're still engaging audiences. And how you do that is really the game changer.
I love that. That kind of puts a whole bow on the through line with all of the change that AI brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
The continued growth of new channels like TikTok Shop, et cetera, is that you really, it's all about defining what that audience is.
Yep.
And what they want to see and when yep. they want to see it.
One of the first questions we always ask a client, separate from media investments and channels and what have you, is what do you know about your audiences? And what more would you like to know?
What's one thing that you wish you'd known 20 years ago that you know now that would have made your career even more successful?
I'm going to answer it a different way.
Okay.
Then I think you're looking for. If I were to go back 20 years to that guy who's sitting in a conference listening to Jeff Bezos and where digital was going, and the, you know, and listening to an audience go, this will never happen. And I'm the only guy in the room going, oh my God, when is this coming? I would have told myself, keep on the path. You won't regret it.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a certain element of despite the challenges that you go through in life, if you keep chugging, keep moving, keep grinding, good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if somebody wants to connect with you, Aaron, what's a good way to do it?
A Horowitz, Horowitz, at meetrise.com. You can go to our website, which is meetrise.com. My contact information is also there. I highly encourage anyone who goes to our site to go to the insights section. It is a destination that we have built on our site for continuous learning.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. I love the through line that if you're relentlessly focused on audience in 2026, you're going to get there.
And outcomes.
Yes. Love it. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Directly Speaking today, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the content and enjoyed getting to know Aaron a little bit better. I hope to have you with us again soon. And until then, have a great day, everybody.